give me what I want, concede to us, or we're going elsewhere. That's what they said. That's not what they meant. And our knee-jerk reaction, because of this idea of scarcity, is we better concede or we're going to lose the business. And this is coming after they've already told you how wonderful you are, how you're the best thing since sliced bread. Can't wait to do business with you. Cut your price or I'm going to a competitor. I don't know how many people on Fireside today have the courage to challenge that. And when I say challenge that, meaning words and behavior are not aligned. And shut up, Don. And so when there is a misalignment, you're not doing anybody any favors if you're going to ignore it. You cannot, on the one hand, say that you are the best thing in the world and then say you're not worth it. Because, I mean, you can say that, but from my perspective, that's got to be challenged. Marcella.
So a lot of this is about, you know, we teach, it's all about the other side. We've been conditioned to not trust our intuition. We live in a society that doesn't listen. And we've been taught to not say things and pick up on things, or at least pick up on it, but definitely don't say it. Particularly with people who've been using these skills for a while and are finding that they're not doing it, but can identify it later, it's because you're not trusting your gut. You need the reps to know that you're right, to know that if you feel that and sense that and you see the hesitation or there's a deeper meaning to that that you just don't want to say, slow yourself down and label it. Sounds like the value's just not there for you. It's uncomfortable, but if you get the reps in enough, you'll see that your intuition's guiding you well. A lot of this is about trusting yourself.
Yeah, a lot of it is about trusting yourself. I didn't use that statement earlier cavalierly. That subconscious intuition thing has been placed into us for survival purposes. And therefore, it rarely gets anything wrong. You guys have heard me before talk about the biology of belief. That's the name of the book. The author is Dr. Bruce Lipton. In that book, he says that the subconscious brain, otherwise known as your intuition, processes 20 million bits of information per second. Not in a minute, not in an hour, not in a day, in a second. It's a supercomputer. Why would you not rely on that? It's just insane to me. And equally insane is the people that run for the hills. The minute somebody says, do this or else. And it's especially problematic in Nick's case when the guy says he speaks to your value proposition and you still are so fearful that you're going to turn tail and run. And I'm not beating up on Nick's client because everybody does that. Instead of digging deeper, getting off of the surface level of do this or else, they go back to their team and say, hey, we got to do this or we're going to lose the business. Fear of loss, single biggest driver of human decision making and behavior. Use it to your advantage. Don Juan?
Sorry.
Oh, did you have something, Marcella?
Just use your team to your advantage. You know, you're in tunnel vision, you're being driven by fear. So when your teammate, who's Nick in this particular experience, when your teammate tells you something different, second guess yourself because you're going to be driven by fear in the moment. So use your team as your strategy.
I'm sitting here listening to you guys, and I realize we talk a lot about how to use the strengths of the different negotiator conflict personality types. You want to use the accommodator voice tone 80% of the time, and then the analyst voice tone about 20% of the time. We talk about how to be assertive using tactical empathy, but what we're talking about here, no matter what your conflict personality type is how to channel your inner analyst and get into that deeper information. That's the strength of the analyst's conflict personality type, is the information and the data. It came easiest to me when I started having fun with it, with unlocking people, with the situation that Nick talks about. When you're channeling that inner analyst, don't just do it in your conversations. For practice, do it when you're listening to someone else talk about the conversation they just had with the boss or a difficult negotiation they were in. Because what you'll find yourself doing is when they're telling you the story, you'll start to get curious about what might have been, and you'll point it out to them. You know, were you curious at all about this? Were you curious at all about that? And when you start helping others stay curious, it'll come more natural for you in your own conversations. It really is a lot of fun if you can get past the fear of knocking into some subject that you don't want to knock into, or having somebody walk away. If you can get past the fear and really want to get into the why behind their behavior and unlock them a little bit, that gets you off the surface almost without effort. You will put in effort, but it'll come so naturally to you after a while as you practice this, and you'll see the benefit, the money it makes you, the relationships that it builds. When Derek says they'll think you're a mind reader, that's just what you want, because that person wants to talk to you again about other stuff. There's other opportunities there. So we talk about deference. We talk about all these things. Just remember your genuine curiosity. And remember that you're leading any sensitive conversation you're in. We talk about the accommodator voice tone and deference and things like that. You're leading the conversation. You're just doing it as a good leader. You're opening the other side up and letting them tell you all of their fears, all of their information. And that's how you lead them to where you want to get.